He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
I would almost even say more directly for the audience, mm-hmm. it's almost like when you're self-managing your property and you're like, I'm really good at this. Let me start a property management company. And all of a sudden you're running vacation rental property management company. But at that point, you can't just do everything yourself. You have to systemize it.
Yeah.
And then one step above that, not managing other people's property, but selling them the system for them to be their own property management company. So it's different layers of it, but you're totally right. It's a different challenge. And I feel like in terms of the market, it's at least for me, I love being able to help people and say, hey, like, this is what I did. If it's a good fit for you and what you want out of life, you could just copy what I did. And yeah. It's just a really cool feeling for me. And I agree with you. I think it's such a ripe time in the economy. People are looking for a career change. A vacation rental has, in my opinion, never been hotter, and it's not going to stop.
You're listening to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, a podcast for those who are in and around the hospitality industry who love, live, and breathe what they do. You can join us for candid and unscripted conversations with hospitality experts and founders as we go deeper into their personal stories while they're sharing their triumphs and trials that got them to where they are today. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and you're listening to an episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now, let's begin. What's up, all my Slick Talkers? This episode is brought to you by my friends at Hostfully. Now, these are the days where enough is enough with managing multiple calendars for your properties in order just to make sure you don't get double booked. And not having a website for your guests to get to know your story and book direct? You can stop stressing, at least a little bit, and check out my friends at Hostfully. Hostfully was created by hosts for hosts, and they understand the importance of centralizing operations, inboxes, calendars, and of course, keeping up with the times and the industry data. You can go to hostfully.com, use my code SLICKTALK20 to get access to their digital guidebooks and their property management software. I use them as well, and I love the simplicity of their product. Now, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now sit back and enjoy. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. I'm super excited because I have the founder of Made This, Neil. My man, how are you doing today? And I saw you bobbing your head behind the scenes. It's good to see your face today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. And I didn't realize you could see me. I was digging the intro music though. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I'm pumped to be here.
No, that's great. That's good feedback. I'm excited for that. The intro, it makes me feel like it's a Friday night and we're about to go out.
Exactly.
Noon, and you know, nothing's open right now. So
end of your holidays, but yeah, excited to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course, Neil. Of course. Well, my man, so we got connected through another kind of podcast professional out in the world, not particularly for hospitality, but when I was telling him about, you know, Hospitality FM and Slick Talk and everything that we're doing, he was like, hey, you got to meet Neil. He's the founder of Made This, which is a cleaning company made for vacation rental hosts and managers. And so hearing that automatically as a vacation rental manager myself, I got excited. And so glad we had our intro and our pre-chat. But for the audience that's listening today, you want to jump into kind of how you got into vacation rentals and hospitality as a whole before even starting your company, and then kind of leading us the moments of the creation of the brand and what you've created today.
Yeah, definitely. So just to start off with, Made This is the first and only vacation rental cleaning franchise which exists in the U.S. So cleaning franchise focus a lot on vacation rentals, but also residential homes. So that's what we are right now. So I started out, Will, in 2013, actually. I was working in private equity, I was working in finance, kind of corporate monkey, right? I was like in a cubicle doing Excel models all day and just figuring out how to escape the rat race. So reading a bunch of articles, and I really wanted to quit my job and travel. That was kind of what I wanted to do. And I tried a bunch of things to do, marketing, e-commerce, like whatever I thought you would need to do in order to quit your job and travel. Finally came across a post of a guy on Reddit, actually, and he started a cleaning company and he posted all the steps for it. So I thought, you know, this is one of the many things I'm trying. Let me give it a shot. And it started working. And this was like 2013, 2014 when, well, you know, people like early days of Airbnb, people are house hacking. You sign a lease, you sublease it, and you keep doing that. Like, you can't do that as much anymore, but early days of Airbnb, right?
Yeah.
So people would call me and say, hey, can you guys do vacation rental turnovers? And I was like, I don't know what this is. No. Then after like the fourth call, I was like, all right, let me look into this.
Yeah.
You realize like, oh, wow, like there's way higher volume here. It's B2B. You know, there's no people in the units. It's a lot easier for the cleaners. Like, it's actually a fantastic little niche, which no one's tackling. And well, I'm sure you know this, but like cleaning companies, local service companies, super old school, right? Like, no technology. You have to text them whenever you want stuff. Like, it's terrible. So one reason why made this kind of worked in general, not just for vacation rentals versus anything else I was trying, is just that the competition wasn't that good, mm-hmm. right? Compared to like what we were doing. We had like online booking, automations, text reminders, like just reliability, just basic stuff that any millennial expects.
Yeah.
That we were doing it, right? Because I thought that was normal. And then realizing, oh, that's actually not normal. So that's kind of how we started and got going. Around 2015 is when I quit my job, took this full time. And about a year ago is when we just started the franchise model, which is a fully remote franchise model. So I traveled for about 5 years while building Made This, and now I'm back in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. So okay, dropped a lot on you there, Will.
No, there's a lot to dive into. Yeah. I did though. This is good. So for the obvious like growing demand part, like you obviously saw like this was a need
because
mm-hmm. you're getting so many inquiries on it. But my first question is, were you the cleaner right out the gate? Were you cleaning these homes by yourself? Or did you go full on staff and say, you know, I need help doing this stuff?
Yeah, I think there's two types of people who start cleaning companies. One's the person who's really clean and does it themselves. And the other one starts a company because they're completely not clean. So they can't do it themselves. I'm the second for sure. Like, so I would have got fired immediately if I did the cleaning. So I've never done a cleaning for a property besides checking in, helping out hosts, things like that, but I haven't actually done the cleaning.
Okay, awesome. Well, let's get to it, because I think like, you know, a lot of people, you know, start off, you know, right out the gate doing everything themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important because like not everyone's made to or like wired to work that way, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You're obviously, if you're not a clean person in your own home nor anywhere else that you stay, whether it's a vacation rental or a hotel or whatever, your parents' house, like my parents would kill me if they saw how my house or my home gets every now and then due to, you know, lack of being up to date with all my stuff. But like, you know, I think if you have the mind of the business and you know how to operate and you know how to create structure and systems, that gives you a lot more credibility in order just to get a streamlined company that's more efficient rather than doing everything yourself and losing, you know, the attention to detail that you need normally for an operation.
100%. And well, to be honest, I wish I could say it's because I had that insight when I was starting it off. But the reality is I was just working in corporate and there's no way I could have cleaned myself.
For sure.
But like I would assume if someone said, hey, you have to start it off by doing cleaning, I would have done it. I didn't even know. Sometimes ignorance is the best thing, right? You just don't know how these things work. So you end up just figuring out a different way around it. And it worked out in my favor. So
for sure. One of my favorite stories from guests on the show is their 2 week notice story. How did that go? How did that feel for you when you were, you know, leaving your corporate job?
So I haven't asked my old bosses about this, but like, I wonder if they knew, or at least know now that I was kind of building Made This along while working over there, because like at the beginning, I didn't know what I was doing. Right. So cleaners would want to get paid. I'd say, hey, just pull up outside of my office. I'd go to the ATM, grab cash, give it to them. And everyone in the corporate building, which is right behind me, could see me handing cash to people in cars every day. And everyone's like, you're a drug dealer.
You're sure.
Like, absolutely. So I wonder if they knew something was already happening. So they kind of expected it. So when I gave my couple weeks notice, my boss, like, he wasn't really surprised. And I think like they were awesome, to be honest. They said, hey, the whole time they're like, hey, you don't really seem like a finance dude anyways. Like, it's fine. You want to go travel, do your own thing. That's totally cool. So it wasn't, they made it very easy for me and they were just awesome people to work for. So I got kind of lucky, I think.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I don't share mine very often, but you know, my bosses knew, you know, when I was a manager that they're like, hey, we know you have a podcast, but you seem to be, you know, going that direction of quitting. And I was like,
no, I still need the job for
I love my salary and I love my job here. I love working 70 hours a week. But no, it definitely, like, good bosses like that, I think when they can tell They feed into that, and that was kind of, that was nice for me. It was like, they're like, hey, like, we're just going to train you to give you the best knowledge, so when you leave, that, you know, we can at least say, you know, we helped that, you know, progress.
Oh,
that.
That's cool. So that's awesome.
That's cool that you kind of got the similar thing.
Yeah.
So going tech focused, so you realize you had to automate a lot of stuff. Can you tell me what the back end of Made This looks like when it comes to an operator versus your cleaning teams?
Sure. So you mean on the tech stack, right?
Yeah, tech stack. Yep. Just overall, you know, let's say I get a booking in my Florida property. What's the steps that happen in between booking, sure, to check in to check out?
I'm going to describe it from the owner's end, and I'll describe what actually goes on the back end here. So from the owner's end, let's say I have the consultation call with you. It's a good fit. We say, great, I'll tell you to fill out the type form with your information of like your entry information, location, Dropbox information, a picture of everything needed. What I do is I use, we use a software called VR Scheduler on the back end. I'm not sure if you heard of VR Scheduler, Will.
I know Jill Mason very.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, it's an awesome team over there. Yeah. So that's the software we chose. We used another one before that, and I think we probably have tested out every single one in the industry. Just for us, from a cleaning company perspective, this was the best fit. So we load you onto there, and what we'll do afterwards is we'll tell you, hey, here's a welcome email. You're all set up, Will. Good to go. You can log in. You could see the upcoming reservations which are happening. You could see, we could see like the quick check-ins and check-outs based off your reservation calendar because we sync with your iCal.
Okay.
So that's it. So on your end,
like if I had a property management software, like let's say Hostfully or whatever, would you guys want to integrate with that way, or does iCal work better for you?
You know, I think both of them are pretty much the same because they both pull from the same back end. So it doesn't really matter. We can integrate with any calendar. And the cool part is we could see you what when your check-ins and check-outs are happening as far in advance as like years. If you have booking reservations years from now, we can see how long the length of the stay is, meaning we know if it's a deep cleaning or not. We see everything, right? And then there's all the notes in there as well. So on the customer's end, it should be very, very seamless. Now on your end, if you want to submit a request to us saying, hey, cancel this one because it'll show as a reservation, but don't, it's not a real reservation, it's an owner block. Yeah. You can just hit a submit request button and we'll get that as well. Now, what happens on our end for that is we have you assigned two cleaners, a primary and a backup. The primary is the one we want to go as often as possible. But the reality is cleaners don't work every single day of the week. They take vacation, they get sick. So we always try to assign a backup. To be honest, this is the hardest part for homeowners to understand is I can't send the same cleaner every single time. I would love to. They just don't work all the time.
Yeah.
So sometimes they'll fall in love with the cleaner. So I only want this cleaner who cleaned the best. It's just not always possible. But we'll try to match them with the same cleaners who can go. And the cleaner will go, hit the button, check in. The clock starts. The owner can see that. The cleaner will fill out the checklist, which the owner specifies. At the end of it, they get a report with the completed checklist. And also, the cleaner will know any issues. Issues being you're running low on supplies. Here's some damages. And if so, we'll get notified about that. And then it gets pushed over to the owner as well, so the owner could action that. So the goal is just to make it as seamless as possible. For the owner, so that you like literally do not need to worry about the cleaning at all.
Yeah. And would the owner be responsible for the inventory? Is this the housekeeper? They're managing the inventory in the linen closet, the cleaning supply, all that stuff, or?
Yeah, that's, so this is a part where, so the quick answer is the owner has to do that.
Okay.
Anything, the delineation is anything maintenance or property management related, we cannot do. And we've strayed into that territory before, and it's always bit us. And I think we figured out, hey, we're just going to stay in our lane. It's cleaning only. We can't replace light bulbs. Yeah. We can't restock supplies, except in very – sometimes there's like owners who've been with us for years who say, hey, I'm in Japan. I really can't. Can you please just do it? Mm-hmm. Then we'll do it. We just won't own it as our primary task.
For sure. That makes sense. Yeah, because we always are, you know, I think that's the big management. Like I trust my cleaners pretty well. Like they've been vetted, they do a good job, they meet the checklist, but it's always the how do we manage this inventory and balance of soaps and shampoos,
yeah,
and, you know, all the other little, you know, guest amenities and just like laundry pods and dishwasher pods and,
you know. So how do you do, Will?
Well, we actually are partnering with a company called Sojo that just automatically sends this package to the housekeeper or to the co-host in the area, and they just go unpack it. They put it, each little piece into its designated spot, whether it's a bathroom or the kitchen, and that's it. It's nice.
Wow. Do they ship it to the house directly or do they ship it to the cleaner?
You can pick. You can ship it to the house directly. I don't recommend that because when you have guests there, it comes like a day early usually.
Okay.
You check out. So, cause it's a shipping and logistics thing that you have to like manage, but Will you just send it to our co-host or to the housekeeper if they're, you know, on top of, like, we have our Florida lady, she just is on top of it. So we just send it to her a day before checkout. She brings it to the home, cleans, unpacks it, places it where it belongs, and voila, she's done.
Wow. Yeah. There you go. What is it called?
Sojo. So not to plug them too early, but getsojo.com. It's a great company. You know, we've gotten to know the team very well, so they're pretty cool. And they go off of your calendar. So they basically just do like that automated process for you. But anyways, enough about that. About you. So I'm curious to know, like, so 2015 versus 2021, completely different in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Obviously COVID one, but two, I think we've seen a big, huge shift in payouts and pricing and how, like, these types of operation expenses are costing either the owner or the manager. How are you guys staying competitive in this market? What's been your secret sauce in order to grow and to stay on top of, you know, these pricing, you know, jumps that we're all seeing inside different markets and different industries and all the above?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to be honest, I'm not too sure what's going on with the price increases of, like, a reservation. And has that also gone up drastically, Will?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so. It's all correlated and it's all relevant because labor has gone up tremendously in every single industry, including cleaning, right? So for us, we have to keep raising our rates because the cleaners are just demanding more and more money. Mm-hmm. And our biggest thing is reliability. Mm-hmm. I never want to call a host and say, I don't have a cleaner for you. I'd rather just not sign up the host at all. It's better not to. So I guess how we've stayed competitive is picking the right host to work with who we know we could actually fulfill. For example, there might be some hosts who say, hey, I do 2 day stays and every single time there's a same day checkout. Mm-hmm. I love that volume, but the reality is I don't ever want to not execute on that. And that's a thin margin of error. Mm-hmm. So we'll say no to hosts like that. And we also price in a way where it's higher priced than if you just got a normal cleaner off the shelf. Yeah. For the reasons, because you have a team managing, right? You have a team checking your calendar. We have all the software. You don't need to worry about whether you have a cleaner showing up or not because it's always backup. So we're priced in a higher way, mm-hmm. meaning it's not really for everyone. At least for us, what's worked out nicely is that because it's higher volume, you don't need that many hosts to, you know, make a big difference or make a good chunk of change.
100%.
So I guess we've stayed competitive just by picking the right hosts, ensuring that the hosts we do onboard, we actually can service. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have to raise prices and we're continually having to raise prices. But there's been hosts who's been with us for a long, long time. And I feel bad. Like I'd still give them great sweetheart rates, but it's just like, hey, I can't do the studio for this price anymore. It's just, that's just the way the world is now.
100%. Well, I'm just like, I'm going into the whole, I don't know. Cause like everything is changing a lot. And so I think when it comes to pricing, like for you guys on the labor side, are you seeing a big, like, are you, I don't know how to like phrase this question, but I guess when you're picking, are you having a lot of hosts that put in like a 24-hour buffer? Like I know in the beginning that was kind of the big thing with Airbnb, like, hey, put in a 24-hour buffer between guests, I know that we've made that a strategy for at least new properties that we sign. It's like, hey, their go live date is X, Y, and Z. So we're going to turn on the calendar then. But for the first month, 2 months, whatever, we have a 24-hour buffer in between checkout and check-in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our cleaner definitely has like that availability and flexibility to be like, hey, I can't make it right at the time of checkout, but I can make it that next day and we can get it turned over for the next guest. Are you guys seeing a lot of strategies like that?
I will happily sign up that host.
Okay.
Happily sign up that host. And so I will also say things have changed, right? We had a labor crunch in the middle of 2021. Mm-hmm. Tough for everyone. We cannot do same day check-ins at that point. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's eased up quite a bit recently. So we are getting new cleaners, more cleaners. So we've actually eased up that requirement. So now we just say, hey, on Sundays, when most cleaners are off for religious days, that's one day we can't allow same day check-ins. But other days, fine. That's okay. As long as it's not constant volume. But if there's a host, and we always recommend this, Neos, if you have a buffer, mm-hmm. like guaranteed, you'll be good. And I know for a host, it's painful because they're like, hey, I might be losing a day of reservations.
Yeah.
But the reality is your life will be easier, at least from a cleaner's perspective, because the hardest part is if a cleaner can't go and you have a same day check-in, that's so much stress, right? Not just for the cleaning company, but for the host to actually get that done. So if you just want to keep things smooth, having that one day buffer eases up a lot. And it doesn't have to be like, let's say a checkout's Tuesday. That doesn't mean you know, you have to wait till Thursday, yeah, but at least wait till Wednesday at 3 p.m. or Wednesday at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a buffer right there. And that's enough to be able to like combat any things which pop up, because the reality is cleaners are in such high demand right now that a cleaner will easily call out and you can't find someone else. 100%. That's just the reality of how it is. So I think it's a sharp move from a business perspective too. Like it's going to pay dividends in the long run with good reviews, ease of operations. So no, yeah, I agree.
And we've taken it off before. We have a property up in the mountains. And so with, you know, ski type properties, mm-hmm. you can't afford to have a non-booked weekend. And so the way our calendar was one time, it was like left one weekend open in December because of that rule. It was like a weird in between for guests. And unfortunately, but fortunately, all we had to do is call our housekeeper, who's been such a loyalist, that I was just like, hey, are you cool if I take off this rule for a bit? We let the calendar fill up, and like, it's only for this couple months of, you know, bookings that we'll have back to backs and all this other stuff. And she goes, yep, open it and I'll make sure it's done. And then she, you know, that open communication, I think, was really crucial. If I just did it and she was like, hey, why am I seeing all these back to back reservations? I am on vacation or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course we make the no check in, no check out policy for Christmas and New Year's and all this other stuff. So that way, you know, guests are staying through those holidays to give, of course, staff time off and all that.
Yep.
I'm curious for you though. I'm just thinking of where are your guys's properties and destinations located throughout the country? I know you went into this franchise model, which I want to talk to you a little bit about too. But where are you guys centrally located? Do you have an office anywhere? What's your main market? Anything like that?
Yeah. So we started in Los Angeles, where I started the company.
Okay.
So we cover all of greater Los Angeles. We also cover the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose. So those would be kind of corporate locations. We also cover all of Denver. So that's a franchise location, and all of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which is another franchise location. So we launched the franchises about a year ago. So two locations now and looking to onboard a few more in the next year.
Awesome. So how's that going? So walk me through what was the pandemic, the spark for the idea of franchising? Did you ever think you were going to franchise?
Yeah. You know, it's so we started technically right before the pandemic's when like I got the LLC and everything done. And then we really just launched in the middle of the pandemic, which is a weird time to be launching a vacation rental cleaning franchise, but I thought, all right, whatever, like let's go and see what happens pretty much. I was trying to figure out a way to expand. And this type of model with, as it relates to labor, is tough to do under one umbrella, right? Yeah. I think you think about the companies who try to make this work. There's been like Handy, who's partnered with Airbnb before. They try to do it with an Uber model. Mm-hmm. The downside of that model is that you have scale, but you don't have quality. Mm-hmm. Vacation rentals require quality because it relates to reviews and business, right? So that model didn't work. Then you have a hyper-localized model where you have like individual cleaners, which you could have them do things like pick up supplies, like laundry, you know, anything you need.
Sure.
You can't really scale it, right? So then you have a company like us who we're in one market, and I was thinking about how do we get across all these different markets? And if I do it myself, it's a lot to do. And I don't know if we'd be able to provide the personalized service, which you can only do on a local basis, right? You can't be Handy. You need to be locally in that market. So franchises seem like the logical avenue of expansion as opposed to self-expanding or just only doing Los Angeles. So that's how I decided on the franchise model. And to be honest, I was battling it because like, I don't know if you felt this way, Will, but like franchising's like what my parents did, you know, that's like the previous generation. Like, we don't franchise. Like, yeah. So it took me a while to grapple with that. And I realized part of it is actually really good because our competitors in the franchise are like Molly Maids, Mary Maids, mm-hmm. like these companies from the 1970s. And we're kind of the new kids on the block, like the franchise for millennials, like work from anywhere you want, fully remote, using like tech to make life easier for everyone. That's the kind of model we're coming into it with. So I kind of enjoy being the new kid on the block in a very old school industry.
For sure. And I'm based out in Denver too. So I need to find you.
Oh, there we go.
If we expand out here, guess what? Guess who's getting hired? You guys. No, that's super cool. And I'm just kind of curious from a founder to founder perspective, what's been the most challenging part that you guys or that you personally have overcome? Is it battling with that franchise decision or is it just, you know, was it battling with giving up your day job to give into this, you know, entrepreneurial lifestyle where, you know, income isn't always guaranteed. It's sometimes you have to invest more than you make and whatever that may be. Is there a certain pivotal, man, I can't speak today. I think I'm
end of year. It's cool.
Yeah. Pivotal moment for you as a founder with this company.
Man, that's a great question. I guess I'll start from the beginning. I don't think it was as big of a jump for me to quit my job to go travel and build Made This, because at the time I think we were doing like 30,000 a month in revenue, and I knew if I quit and did it full time, it'd go way bigger, and it did keep growing from there.
Sure.
So that wasn't as big of a deal. I think jumping into the franchise part as the new business model was something completely different, right? Because you're going from selling cleaning and me running all everything and having a hand in everything to say, I need to systemize this, all of a sudden sell people on the fact that, hey, buy this product from me and X years of your life because it works,
Yeah.
right? It's a different sale. It's a much more high ticket sale. So I think that shift has been initially a struggle to get to like convince myself to do it. And now that I'm actually doing it, it is by far one of the toughest things I've done, but it's actually super fun.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it, because like it's a different challenge. You're talking with different people. Getting on podcasts like this, like it's just a very different way of doing business, which I never really had. So it almost made me, it's almost, it feels like I opened up a different company,
Yeah.
which is completely separate. So I'd say this is probably the biggest challenge I've dealt with, and yeah, I'm liking it.
That's cool. And
Yeah.
I can see it like being like you've had this product that you've been using. It's like when people create an app for themselves, right? They're like, I'm going to use this app because it's going to help my life. But then they put it on the Apple App Store or whatever. And then all of a sudden these people start using it. And now it's becoming like the bones and structure of what they're doing. Do you feel like that's kind of what it's like for you? When, like I've got this structure, I have this system in place that works, and I want to sell it to you in order to grow a, lifestyle, or maybe not lifestyle change, but like a brand that's going to change your life and create help you create the lifestyle that you want.
Yeah.
Us being millennials, tech, freedom of time and better use of our passions and everything else that goes into our careers. I think we've all seen through 2020 that a lot of people are starting to question, is this what I want to do with my life? Am I
Right.
happy? What makes me happy? And you get to kind of sell that dream via your franchise. So
Yeah.
I
That's
guess.
a great way to say it. And I would almost even say more directly for the audience, it's almost like when you're self-managing your property and you're like, I'm really good at this. Like, let me start a property management company. And all of a sudden you're running vacation rental property management company. But at that point, you can't just do everything yourself. You have to systemize it. And then one step above that is not managing other people's property, but selling them the system for them to be their own property management company. Right. So it's different layers of it. But you're totally right. It's like, it's kind of a different challenge. And I feel like in terms of the market, it's at least for me, I love being able to help people and say, hey, like this is what I did. If it's a good fit for you and what you want out of life, you could just copy what I did. And like, it's just a really cool feeling for me. And I agree with you. I think it's such a ripe time in the economy. People are looking for a career change. Vacation rental has, in my opinion, never been hotter, and it's not going to stop. Right. So it seems like a very good, perfect storm is kind of what I'd say.
Hey, Manuel, what are you doing in this episode? Did I forget a meeting?
Hey, Will. No, we don't have a meeting, but I love tuning into the recording, so I figured I'd hop in.
Oh, awesome. Well, hey, since I got you here, do you mind sharing some stuff about Jetstream? Ever since our episode on Slick Talk, we get tons of questions about you and, of course, Jetstream.
Of course, I'd love to share. Anything specific?
Well, I keep getting asked, what's the difference between Jetstream and any other service or tech in the vacation rental industry? My simple answer is that Jetstream isn't just the tech you need, but it's the people too. Am I close?
The short answer is yes. You see, maybe you're a short-term rental operator or a realtor or an investor. If you have an interest in short-term rentals and hospitality, you're looking for the most efficient way to either enter the industry or streamline your operations. You've got two options. Option one, the hard one. You find a PMS, hire staff, learn the tools, figure out OTA distribution, train yourself, train your teams, price your product, deal with customers, and you do everything yourself. Option two, partner with Jetstream. Jetstream is a complete solution that maximizes your revenue in the short-term rental industry without increasing your fixed costs. Jetstream handles everything.
So, I don't need to sign up for vacation rental software or worry about distribution headaches. And what about branding? What if operators love their brand and name? Do they have to give that up in order to be powered by Jetstream?
Absolutely not. Jetstream does all of this white labeled under your brand name. Everything. You focus on delivering on-site guest delight and growing your inventory. Jetstream handles the rest. And to make it even easier for your listeners and anyone else who stumbles across this podcast, anyone who mentions code SLICKTALK50 will receive 50% off the first 3 months.
All right, coming in big with the 50% off for our listeners. Well, hey, Emmanuel, I just want to say thank you so much for shedding some light on the power of Jetstream and being such a great industry partner. I do have to get back to this episode, though, but let's get together soon for another virtual happy hour. First round's on me.
Sounds good, Will. See you soon.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. That's a good statement there.
Yeah.
I am curious. So asking you, you know, the greatest struggle that you've had versus now, I want to kind of go into the more like success part. Like obviously the franchise is a big piece of that success, but you know, LA is not a small market. That's for sure. So starting there, and I don't know, do you have any just like personal success stories that you just have milestones throughout starting the company? Cause I don't know. I posted a post on LinkedIn. December 27th was the 2 year mark for going full time podcast entrepreneur type stuff, and just doing a lot of reflection and seeing these milestones that were hit along the way, the support along the way. Anything for you that sticks out from just kind of jumping all in and any current?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's like key moments that come to mind, and I'll list a couple of them. One of them. I remember when I quit my job, and part of the reason I started is my parents had video rental stores. Do you remember those? Well, like the old Blockbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So they had their own private one. Mid 2010s, they weren't doing that well. So I wanted to start a company where my mom at least could work from the company while at home. So that's where Mavis started, and that's part of why I was remote. So I remember I quit, and this one time my mother and I were walking on the beach right after we started, and I got a call. It was from like a customer who needed a cleaning. I picked it up, closed the sale on the beach, and then coordinated with the cleaner, done. And it was like $200 for the cleaning, you know, cleaner got half of that, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I'm walking on the beach and I just made $100 from like doing nothing. Like, this is incredible. Yeah. I can't believe this is how business works. That was just like a moment, like a light bulb moment. I'm like, wow, I could do this from anywhere. And that's when I started traveling, and I traveled for 5 years while just building it remotely. And every time I travel and I made a sale, I was always like, This is so cool. You can kind of do it from anywhere.
Yeah.
I'd say that moment was like very key in me just like realizing the power of business, the power of being remote, and how just technology has enabled us to do a lot of these things. Another cool part where I felt like, oh, I made it was, so my operations team is across a few different countries. Mm-hmm. So I visited my team in South Africa.
Oh, wow.
It's actually a group of Jehovah's Witnesses in the mountains in South Africa. So I went there and I stayed for like a month, and I stayed with them. I went to like their Kingdom Hall meetings and like everything. And they took me out to go visit everyone in the town. And it was just like a kind of like, a, wow, I can't believe like I employ a group over here in the middle of Africa, and they're welcoming into their home. And we're just kind of like a family now. It was just kind of like an awakening moment of like, oh, this is real. Like, this isn't just some weird online thing we're doing. Like, I'm meeting real people on the other side of the world that I never would have met in my life if it wasn't for Made This. Mm. So that was another really, really cool feeling.
That's super cool. Like I honestly just got goosebumps. So that's actually pretty sweet. Cause it is true. Like I don't know about you and like your parents, my parents are well in their 60s and they're probably going to be watching this when this is streaming. So sorry, mom and dad, to call you out. But it's just different, right? Like they don't get that we are behind a keyboard talking to one, if not hundreds of people a day, a week, or whatever time frame you want to give it throughout the whole world, not just, you know, our neighborhood or our city.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm talking to people, like you said, South Africa, Germany, Spain, all over the place, Florida, you got all over the states and Canada a lot, particularly for me. But they just don't get that. And like, so for you with your parents, what's that relationship been like, you know, getting to show them that you've built this company that's on a global level, telling them the stories of meeting your team in South Africa? Like, what's that response from them?
Man, great question. I'm curious what it is like for you as well. My background, I'm Indian, right? So I don't know if you know many Indians well, but like at least first generation Indians, our parents are like, you're going to be a doctor, an engineer, or a lawyer. Like that's what you do, right? So I was working in this great lucrative job in finance, and they kept thinking like, so you're going to quit this job, you're going to start a cleaning company, and you're going to go travel. Like, are you kidding me? Like what are you doing? they would never be the type to ever tell me no, which I love them for. But at the beginning, they were extremely worried, even though they didn't vocalize it to me. And as they saw the company grow, and especially that first year where I quit, and then in 1 year, the company doubled. Then I think they had more confidence of like, oh, wow, like he knows what he's doing. And I think the cool part is my mom was also involved in the company and helping out with some of the day-to-day. So she kind of got to see the growth. So now I think it's what my dad until like 2 years ago was like, so when are you going to go back and work in like finance again? I'm like, Dad, I've been doing this for like 8 years. Like we have a franchise. Like, so I think it took him a while to get it. But now that they see I'm doing this and I'm doing well, they've been happy and that, they haven't said much.
That's
How's
cool.
it for you, Will?
I don't know. I don't think they get it as much, in the sense of like, I manage a couple of their homes, so they get that part, but they don't get the podcast, and which is like honestly my main business. I'm a COO, co-founder for Recreation Rentals, but then I'm CEO, solo founder for Slick Talk Media, Hospitality.fm, all these things. Bring on a team, and like they just don't get the podcasting space, which is understandable. Like, you know, when people were making money off of YouTube, everyone's like, "What? How are you a millionaire off of YouTube making videos?" Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, that same thing. My parents had different expectations for me growing up, in the sense of they wanted me to become a pastor. So I was, I was called to the church and to lead and be preaching every Sunday. But, you know, for me just particularly, I love people in that sense. I love, you know, connecting and being deep and conversational, but it was more in the sense of not through church. I just wanted to just take that barrier away. And then also, I think when I found hospitality, for me, it found like my true sense of I struggled with depression super bad prior to multiple like years of just being depressed and not knowing who I was, but then like getting into entrepreneurial like adventures and finding hotels and hospitality and travel and all these things, like I started to really find who I was as a person outside of that. So it actually freed me in a lot of ways, and I think my parents now today can see, you know, this isn't just some little podcast.
It's a fad.
Yeah.
It'll go away.
Yeah. So I didn't think it would get to this point. I just started out of boredom. So like I think from seeing that it wasn't like a planned out thing for me to go into this business. It was just a hobby and then turned into a business. I think that was a little off-putting for them, especially when I quit my day job as a hotel manager. That, you know, would scare almost anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's worked out. So at the end That's of the awesome. Day,
I think it's been 2017 is when you started the podcasting.
So yeah, 4 years I've been doing the podcast, but I quit my day job 2 years in. So December 27th, 2019 was my full time start.
Very cool, man.
Yeah. So cool stuff. But no, I always like to, I find it very interesting because my friend Tejal Patel, she kind of tells the same story, you know, first generation parents from India. They were very like, hey, you're gonna go become a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever. But they're actually hoteliers. So hers was a little bit different. It's like, hey, you better not leave the industry. You're gonna become a hotelier like us. And so
That's like that the Patel motel industry is like a mafia clan. Like it truly is. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's been really cool though to like see like her change it and like kind of bring in that millennial, you know, spice to it. It's like, hey, I'm not going to do it the old way. Obviously the old way wasn't working because times are changing, right? Yep. We have more tech, we have more software, we have, you know, everything. So it's just, it's been really cool to see, see her take on that role of leadership and changing the overall dynamic for.
Yeah. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool to hear.
Well, I'm curious for you. So, you know, we're recording this 2021. Wow, I really just need coffee today. But we're going into 2022. You are obviously trying to grow the franchise side now. But what's the next step? What are you going to be hitting the ground running in Q1, Q2 of 2022 to really make Made This like just take off in more directions than you expected?
So I spent like the last couple weeks kind of solidifying that plan. It's actually one of my favorite times. Maybe I'm just like a really nerdy planner, but it just makes me pumped, right? Like, I'm gonna do this, you get on paper. So next year, for me personally with the franchise, I want to award about 5 new franchise locations in the US. It's not crazy growth, but my goal is just like, I want to work with people who I would want to get a beer with, right? Yeah. That's my goal is like, you have to be smart, motivated, understand the niche, but also more importantly, we have to get along because it's going to be a long-term relationship. So finding five people in the year to really work with, to really cater, to really take care of, that's number one goal for Made This franchise. Mm-hmm. And for my corporate locations, I'm mostly out of the day-to-day, but I actually want to see it grow completely without me. So my job now is shifted towards hiring the right people, putting them in the right place, ensuring I could provide like any leadership, management, accountability as much as possible and have us grow, let's say 30% with a lot less involvement from me. So that's kind of like, if I can nail those two goals on the business end, I'm feeling good.
Yeah. Well, those are great goals. And I think that's going to like, I find that as like the evolution of a entrepreneur and a business owner, right? Like they're loving the hustle, the day to day, the go, like scalability, the growth, all this fun stuff, the structure, the systems.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like phase, let's call it phase three, right? Where you're like at that point of, all right, shoot, I built this like empire that is self-sustaining. It's profitable. It's growing every year without me even doing anything other than attending a couple meetings. I can actually go to the beach in Mexico and drink martinis or margaritas or whatever you want to do. That's like a whole new phase of like entrepreneurship before either an exit or a sale. And I think like, I don't know, it's just a very different mindset. And I find like you get into the more fun stuff when it comes to like leadership, like the, you know, maybe let's say the 10 hours a week or the 5 hours a week that you're working are solely focused on investment into your team and into all the fun stuff, you know, developing those leadership skills. So for you, I guess, do you find passion and excitement in the growth and leadership side for the people that you're working with and, you know, working, having work under you?
Yeah. Great question. I think kind of what you mentioned with like the phases and like the lids and where you're capped at, like, it makes so much sense. Cause just in this last month, I kind of realized when starting a business, you oftentimes hire doers, people who will follow you with direction. You give them direction, you tell them what to do. Yeah. And you have to keep telling them direction what to do. It's almost like if you're an octopus, it's one of your tentacles, right? Is like, you're still the one moving it, but they're the ones doing it for you. Mm-hmm. We do that in early in business because those people are often cheaper. It's easier to hire. You want to be a little bit more involved. And I realized only recently, it's hard to get out of the mindset when you do it for a long time, right? You just end up with those types of people, great people, but not ones who will allow you to fully exit the business. So what I realized is my focus now is on hiring people who aren't dependent on me giving them direction or not dependent on me like babysitting them. Mm-hmm. In some ways, like I need people who could take this to the next level completely without me.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're always better at me than stuff. Like they could be 80, 90% as good as I am at the task, but that's fine as long as they're self-sufficient. 100%. So that's a lot of my focus now is finding those right people. Then you're right. I think the leadership part of it and making sure the pieces are into place to coach them, provide guidance, provide structure. And I think that's going to depend on like what your skill set is.
Yeah.
Like for me, it might be more about, I think I'm pretty good in the business at figuring out what the real problem is and then creating a system around it. Mm-hmm. I might not be as good at like holding people accountable to the system where I know I'm not good, but I could find it. So I'm going to try to focus on that part and find other people to button up the part I'm not good at. So that's going to be a lot of my focus is getting those right people in the door. Since the model is set, like we know what we got to do. We just got to execute it.
For sure. No, I love that plan. Well, hey, I love to ask every guest on the show one final question before they go. And while the listeners are in and they're on their app, whether it's Spotify, Google, Apple, or hospitality.fm, our newest player, if people are looking at the show notes, what was the one link you'd want to send them to learn more about you, to learn more about Made This, anything, anywhere you want to send them?
Yeah, I would probably say www.madethisfranchise, madethisfranchise.com. From there, you could even get the link to my direct website for more information, other podcasts I've been on, but the whole franchise opportunities on there. And at least for what I'm seeing, I think, to be honest, a lot of the best people to run this are people who understand the niche, which is hospitality, right? Yeah. Then it's a layup. It's just literally what you're doing. You're just adding another piece of the pie of that supply chain into your portfolio. So yeah, very much again, look forward to chatting with anyone who sees this and thinks it's a good fit.
Awesome. Well, hey, all Slick Talkers listening right now, you will get a link in the show notes. So go ahead, like and subscribe, all things Made This, follow and tune into more episodes like this. Neil, I want to say thank you so much for joining me today on the show. I look forward to watching you grow and scale and hopefully, you know, having a couple nice drinks on the beach in 2022.
Definitely. Thanks, Will.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to our show partners for making Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, possible. We hope you enjoy the show, and we would love to connect with you outside of the podcast. So you can follow us on all of our social media channels for daily hospitality content, or find us on slicktalkthepodcast.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and we will see you guys all again next week. Smart locks, smart thermostats, automation, and a solution for any hotel and vacation rental company. Our show partners at Operto are the leading solution for operators to enhance their operations by integrating with your property management software and making sure that all your smart devices create a contactless guest experience while streamlining your operations. So don't forget to check them out on their website, send me a message, or just let them know that Will sent you and you are in good hands. So get ready to enjoy another episode of Slick Talk the Hospitality Podcast and check out operto.com or go to the podcast website and see our partners page. What's up, everybody? If you've gotten this far into the episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast, then you are amazing, and thank you so much for tuning in. We want to send you two places really quickly. If you can, check out the show notes and click the hospitality.fm link. Check out all of our other shows on the podcast network. And don't forget, if you have someone that you want to hear on the podcast, then fill out the guest fill out form so that way we can get them on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy another episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast.